From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Oh, man, we are so ready for Kentucky on Saturday. What a great moment it's going to be as the SEC East has decided. We think around here these are the kinds of games that Georgia's built for, both in terms of its mental approach to the game, more on that in a moment, its roster strength, which we've kind of talked about all week long. These are just the kinds of moments in which Georgia, I believe, is very hard to beat. Doesn't mean that Kentucky's not a formidable foe, defensively especially. They are. I'll write more about that at DogNation.com later on today. But our confidence level about this game around here is just really high. And you may say, well, BA, your confidence level is really high for every game. But I don't know that's necessarily been the case, some more so than others. I do expect Georgia to be challenged by Kentucky. I think the Dogs will leave Lexington knowing that it was in a game, but knowing they were in a game. But when it's all said and done, I think Georgia wins this. Wins this game on Saturday. We'll talk more about that throughout the show here today, and some of that will be your comments, of course, on a video here as well. And you can always weigh in with comments on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily also. But off the top of the show, I kind of want to talk about something a little bit different from that, or at least lead into the game discussion with this. You know, there is a narrative that's forming outside the bubble of Dog Nation, for sure, on the fringes of Dog Nation, maybe, where a group of people suddenly seem to think they know what's really going on. And listen, this is always true in college football. There's always going to be this market for, hey, let me tell you the real story. Come in here close. I'll whisper this to you. I can't tell you who told me this, but it's a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who lives next door to a guy who once, you know, was at Kroger at the same time that Kirby Smart was. I mean, it's always that kind of stuff, right? There's always this thing going on of, here's the real story, you know, and when it comes to, like, you know, rivals of Georgia, when it comes to, you know, programs or fans or people or just, you know, entities that would have a vested interest in seeing Georgia not succeed, seeing Georgia not do well, you better believe the fires and that kind of stuff is going to be fueled even more. Well, we'll talk more to Jeff Sintel about this later on, because we're already seeing how some of this stuff is being used on the recruiting trail even right now. And, of course, for Georgia right now, these rumors, these whispers seem to all be connected to Justin Fields because you know, even if you don't have any true inside information about Fields, who did not play versus Florida, even if you don't know the real backstory here, the dots just seem so obvious to connect, right? Fields, who had played in every game up until Saturday, maybe not as much as some Georgia fans wanted in any of those games, but had taken a snap in every one of those games, suddenly against Florida, doesn't play at all. And it seems so obvious to some, well, clearly he's not going to be happy about that. And in this day and age in which we see quarterbacks transfer quickly from programs, Kelly Bryant did leave Clemson. Tua Tagovailoa discussed the possibility of leaving Alabama had he not played the national championship game. Jalen Hurts, the other Alabama quarterback's dad, talked about the free agent status that Hurts could have. He spoke about that during the offseason. It just seems so obvious to some that Justin Fields would kind of walk down that same road and follow that same process. After all, how could he not be upset? How could he not be trying to sow discord behind the scenes? And there's no shortage of anonymous posters on message boards or whisper campaigns on the radio or really anything else that, you know, to sort of, you know, supplement that idea of Fields is not happy, Fields is going to transfer, this is a Georgia program in the midst of a quarterback controversy. And, you know, around here, I won't pretend to know or pretend to be able to tell you, here's what's really going on with Jake Fromm, here's what's really going on with Justin Fields, and here's how it's all going to play out over the course of the next couple of years. But I guess I would suggest maybe don't believe every rumor that you hear. Maybe don't, you know, fall in line with every whisper campaign that's out there, especially when those are coming from people who may have an ulterior motive here. Maybe, just maybe, for Georgia, these two good quarterbacks on the roster at the same time, maybe this all works out together, and maybe this all eventually, as hard as it might seem, actually does have a happy ending for the Dogs. I thought that Justin Fields put something interesting on Instagram here, and obviously it's easy to read too much into anything, and clearly, you know, no one's going to know exactly what any young man or any person at all means from a very brief social media post. But in terms of maybe you know, confounding the dominant narrative of you know, Fields looking for the first open door to escape the Georgia program after not playing versus Florida, maybe this Instagram post from Fields does a little something different there. Of course, if you're listening, I'll describe it to you, but if you're watching on a video. You can see this right now. It's an Instagram pose from Justin Fields. His picture there throwing a football, and three words accompany the picture. He says, trust the process. Now, I think that's really interesting from Fields, because I do believe he is in the midst of a process here at Georgia. And I think that process for Fields ends up leading to him being a major part of this program in the years to come. And, by the way, that could still happen for him at some point in time here in the 2018 season. I don't want to read too much into one Instagram post. Don't want to make too much out of one small, you know, sample set of a quote from Fields. But I think that phrasing there, trust the process, is not just important for Fields in his own process as the Georgia quarterback, but also important for, well, as Georgia as a program, as it leans heavily on its process in Kentucky on Saturday in an environment that Georgia's been in a lot. Kentucky hasn't been in quite so much. And the preparation that Georgia has gone through, Fields included, I think is one of the recipes that's going to lead to a Georgia victory here in this game. But I think it's really poignant that the guy delivering that message on social media here this week is one of the guys that some fans have doubted. Is he really a part of this process? Is he really a part of Georgia's plans? Well, Kirby Smart, in terms of how he's spoken about these quarterbacks, it hasn't changed. He's praised Jake Fromm. He's praised Justin Fields. He's talked about them in concert together a lot. It was the same kind of message delivered by Smart after the Florida game on Saturday, a game in which Jake Fromm played very well, probably cemented his status as one of this team's leaders. But in the midst of that, you certainly don't see Kirby Smart turning his back on Justin Fields. Here was Kirby Smart post-game from Florida on Fromm and Fields and the process that they both right now are a part of.
I really, really ignore the noise. I don't get into that because I don't think it helps me make a good decision. The decisions that we make for our team at all positions should be based on what happens at practice, what happens in games, and how the flow of the game's going. But the outside noise probably affects the players a lot more than it affects me, because I have to make decisions based on what affects our organization the right way. And Jake Fromm is a high-character kid that works his tail off every day, and I'm sure he felt and heard the noise, and Jake Fromm continues to work and get better. Justin Fields continues to work and get better, too. For the last 2 weeks, that kid got a lot of reps, and he got better. And, you know, I'm disappointed he didn't get an opportunity to play, and I'm sure he's disappointed, too. But he is a competitor, and he continues to get better. We have a situation where we have two what I think are really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I love that line at the end. I think we have a situation where we have two really good quarterbacks. I've said that so much around here that some of you, I think, have gotten a little tired of it, but it is the important message. And I guess honesty compels me to admit here that I'm a little disappointed that I started the week by saying that there were three words for Georgia that were going to matter more than any other this week. For me, those three words were own the East, and I've kind of banged that drum all week long as much as I could that own the East matters here more than anything else. And here we have Justin Fields and Kirby Smart both trying to compete with me for three-word phrases that might actually resonate a bit more. I'm talking about own the East, own the East, own the East. That's the phrase that matters. Justin Fields, though, gives us a different three-word phrase: trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. I would suggest that trusting the process is a great way to own the East, and not to be outdone by that is Kirby Smart, who in the midst of that clip and that quote you just heard after the game on Saturday also said ignore the noise. And that's another thing that I think is really crucial here towards owning the East on Saturday, getting this win against Kentucky that cements the division, punches the ticket back to Atlanta in the SEC championship game, because there is just wishful thinking on the part of people outside Dog Nation that this Georgia train that looked like it got rolling a year ago isn't maybe quite the runaway that it appeared to be. Because after all, if you're Florida, if you're Tennessee, if you're South Carolina, if you're even Kentucky, Georgia's opponent on Saturday, and you are looking to stay competitive in the East, the last thing you need is for Georgia to be an uncontrollable juggernaut. And the only way that may upend the potential success that Georgia seems to have on the horizon is some sort of discord, some sort of lack of harmony on the part of the program, separated by, you know, a quarterback who doesn't want to be there anymore, or a quarterback who thinks he should be playing instead. Maybe, just maybe, the Georgia players actually do really buy into what Kirby Smart says. And maybe they actually do trust this process and ignore the noise. And maybe there is enough unity here on this team and enough central focus on one giant, larger purpose that maybe this team turned a corner last week against Florida, played better against a major opponent than it probably has all season long, and maybe that was just the start of plenty more to come. That is certainly what Dog fans hope is true, and Saturday at 3:30 p.m., we'll get to find out just how true it actually is. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you. Thanks for being with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, the worldfamousdognation.com included, or the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, or SoundCloud, however you get to us. Just thanks for being with us here today, and really appreciate Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. You know we love Marco's here, and we love hearing about how so many of you have tried Marco's and discovered for yourself what we always say. It is authentic Italian quality pizza, every store, every day, the Italian way. Go to Marcos.com. You can find the Marcos closest to you, and you can take advantage of a great everyday offer. I think every day is an important thing to accentuate here. Everyday offer. That means there's no promo code to remember, no coupon to clip. It's just every store, every day, the Italian way, and two medium, two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Two medium, two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Go to Marcos.com, and you can take advantage of more of that. We do have Jeff Sintel coming up here in a couple of moments. As I mentioned, I forget if I mentioned this on the regular broadcast or the video audience before we actually kind of kick things off today, but it's kind of an interesting weekend for UGA recruiting because there are a couple high-profile, in at least one case, UGA commit, a couple cases, UGA recruiting targets, who are taking big-time visits to other programs here this weekend. We'll let Jeff kind of fill in some of the gaps on that. Jeff's also had some great stuff at DogNation.com over the last couple of days. We will talk more about that with him. But before that, the game at hand is Georgia and Kentucky on Saturday. I'm really excited about this. You know, we always knew that once you kind of got to that LSU game, it was going to be LSU bye week, Florida, Kentucky, Auburn. It was going to be that stretch that would determine the season for Georgia. And as it turns out, our thought process on how all that was going to play out has turned out to be really true, that this Georgia-Kentucky game does feel as big as we thought it had a chance to feel a couple of weeks ago. No matter if you believe that Kentucky's a legitimate top 10 team or not, we talked about that a bit yesterday. No matter your overall feelings on that, it is a legitimate game for Georgia on the road against an opponent that can do some things to make life tough on the Dogs, and a chance here to own the East and move on to Atlanta in the SEC Championship game. So it's a fascinating backdrop. It's a fascinating platform for Georgia to be on Saturday. And I have to admit that I really like the mental approach that Georgia is taking into this game. And ultimately, the reason why I believe that Georgia's going to win, the thing that's going to decide the game for Georgia, is the fact that Georgia has better talent. You know, Jeff talked about this on Before the Hedges on Wednesday. If you look at the overall disparity of 4- and 5-star players in Georgia's roster and 4- and 5-star players in Kentucky roster, it is greatly imbalanced in favor of Georgia. Now, Kentucky's also showing you that not every player that plays well in the SEC is a former blue-chip recruit, but it still helps to have the most of them. That's ultimately what's going to decide this thing for Georgia on Saturday, and yet there is still an appropriate mental approach to take. Georgia's experience in these kinds of big games, I do think, matters. The other thing that matters here is if you look at the way that Georgia celebrated on the heels of that Florida win, if you look at the way that we captured some of this for you on our own videos here on our Dog Nation video channels, if you see some of that, you see a Georgia team that's suddenly having a little bit of fun here and maybe seeing the hard work, because y'all know it is a grind. Folks, it is a grind going from the summer throughout the season, lifting, practicing, working, competing. It's a grind. But we may be getting to that point where that grind is starting to pay off for Georgia. Maybe it is true again, once again, in Lexington on Saturday against Kentucky. It was certainly true for Georgia against Florida, and the players seemed to appreciate the fact that that happened. I thought that Kirby Smart had some interesting things to say about that ahead of Kentucky after the post game on Saturday. Here's a little more from Kirby.
We had some really good moments in our locker room. We had some guys that played really good in those games. I've thoroughly enjoyed the process of this team growing and getting better. Was the Florida locker room good? Yeah. Was the LSU locker room good? No. But all those in between have somewhere probably been in the middle of those two somewhere. But the Florida locker room was good because it was a big win. But we give our guys 24 hours to get used to it and move on, and the next one's just bigger.
I love that phrase, thoroughly enjoyed that process of watching this team get better. We've always said that Georgia in the SEC Championship in September against Alabama, that game might not go so well. but give this team a chance to get to December, all of a sudden things are looking a whole lot better, maybe because the process of improving is taking place, and the next step towards that may be this Saturday against Kentucky. It's really an interesting thing to think about. And, of course, when you think about that, you also think about our Kroger checklist. We do it every Friday here on Dog Nation Daily, looking ahead to the big weekend for Georgians. We take a look at the Kroger checklist here for this Friday. A couple things to keep in mind here. First of all, it's Georgia at Kentucky tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 p.m. there on CBS. This is not Brad Nessler and Gary Daniels, and it's a different crew calling the game. I know a couple of the analysts, Aaron Taylor, Rick Neuheisel. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty big booth for Georgia on Saturday, but a little bit of a different CBS crew for that one. Game's at Kroger Field, by the way, so we'll look forward to seeing that. And then, of course, our post-game show, the Northside Hospital post-game show, immediately after the game, right here on the Dog Nation video channels from our Atlanta studio. We're looking forward to doing that with you here, and glad to be able to mention that as part of our Kroger checklist here this afternoon. By the way, speaking of Kroger, come out and join your local Kroger chef for a guided kids cooking experience, including an apron and patch, chef's hat, recipe card and box, and a mini muffin pan. Who wouldn't want one of those? It's all just $7. And in November, the Kroger Chef Jr. is going to be featuring festive fall muffins. That's Saturday and then again on November 10th. You can go to KrogerChefJr.com to reserve your spot today. That's KrogerChefJr.com to reserve your spot today. Great to have you with us here today on A Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, we will say hello to Jeff Sintel here on this Friday. A lot of recruiting news to get to. Jeff, thanks so much for your time today. Hope you're doing well. We appreciate you being with us.
Hey, Brandon. I hope everybody's great. I'm Dog Nation. Having themselves a good Friday so far.
Yeah, I am having a good Friday, and it's even better now. We get a chance to talk a little recruiting with you. We appreciate you being here. And let me start with something I think is kind of interesting. I guess ESPNU tonight, a player that Georgia fans on the recruiting trail have come to know and love, Nolan Smith, his IMG team getting ready to take on Hoover, the big program out of Alabama. That's a pretty high-profile TV spot for Nolan tonight for Georgia fans who have been impressed with not just – Nolan as a player, but as his leadership, a chance to showcase him here in front of a national television audience. Kind of fun for Nolan and for the UGA fans there in that regard, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting. A couple things to think about there with that game. Not only is it Nolan Smith, five-star Georgia commit, the senior commit in the class, it's also the new name that's on the Georgia front a little bit. That's Noah Kane. That's the 1B, 1A running back there for IMG Academy as well, along with Trey Sanders. There's also Legend Cavazos. He's probably not going to play tonight, but he's another IMG Academy player who he chose Ohio State this summer. Now, Georgia was a key contender, and Legend tells me, Mr. Cavazos tells me that he will also visit Georgia on an unofficial for the Auburn game next weekend. And again, maybe there's a final way to look at it is this might be maybe Nolan's last game at IMG Academy, at least on the national stage, as they face Hoover, a perennial power, which is also led by 2020 dual threat quarterback target Robbie Arnold, who also has a offer from Georgia as well. That's the Hoover quarterback, 6'3", 215 pounds, also a phenomenal baseball player, kind of in that like Kyler Murray mold. That's a 2020 quarterback target that's like Georgia for a long time. Georgia offered him very early in his recruiting, well over a year ago. But the main thing there is you got Nolan Smith, which what looks like to be his very last game at IMG Academy. Number one, because they won't make it. They don't play in a state association because IMG Academy is a boarding school, and IMG probably won't qualify for that national semifinal tournament that takes place later this year.
I'm glad you mentioned Noah Kane because, as you said, he's also playing there as well. I really haven't seen IMG play this year. Do he and Sanders pretty much split carries the way that you assume they might here? If we tune in tonight to watch this game, will fans get to see a lot of Noah Kane here, I'm assuming?
Most of those guys, depending on the need and the opponent, get about, I'd say, 8 to 12 carries per game, and they're nice. Those that kind of remember what it was like when Georgia rotated in Nick Chubb, and then a Sony Michelle, and then even a DeAndre Swift. That's what the IMG Academy 1-2 punch is going to look a lot like.
And then one more point here. You know, you mentioned Legend Cavazos. It's been kind of funny. Those of us who read the Centel Intel each day there to DogNation.com. You know, a couple blasts from the past here this week. Cavazos, who we haven't talked about in a while. His name kind of pops back up here. Derek Rambo Hunter showed up in a Centel Intel. It's been a while since Rambo has been a topic of conversation. Georgia fans haven't certainly forgot about Brian Brzee, but Brzee's name came back up for the first time in a while here as well. So one of the kind of fun things about reading your recruiting work over the last few days, Jeff, is a few names that you and I have not kicked around very much, either on this show, Before the Hedges, or maybe even in your own Centel Intels there, DogNation.com, like Cavazos, like Hunter and others, they have kind of reappeared here for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I think Hunter is interesting because he's taken an official visit to Florida, to Texas A&M. He's committed to Florida State. I believe he took had an official schedule last weekend for Virginia. Penn State's also in there. And even though he's committed to Florida State, a lot of folks don't feel he'll wind up at Florida State. And again, 6'4", maybe 280 pounds. Really, to me, looks like one of those inside defensive line guys, even though he's rated as the nation's number 21 strong side defensive end. Another guy, he says Georgia's still continued to talk to him. He says that he will be at UGA for an official visit for the UMass game on November 17th. And that's another name that we always kind of filed away because he was so up and down. We kind of filed away to say, we'll see what Derek Hunter's doing and how he's feeling about Georgia in November. And it turns out that he feels good enough about Georgia to give the program one of his five official visits. So that's another name to monitor down the home stretch of his recruiting.
All right, let me get into some more serious, hardcore business here for a moment. You know, Jeff, there are a lot of rumors out there. There's never any shortage of rumors. But, you know, it seems like around Georgia as of late, there are a lot of rumors. And some of that seems to, I guess, be directly connected to a guy like, say, Trayvon Walker, who recently visited South Carolina. I think he's got a scheduled visit to Florida here this weekend. Now, I'm assuming that Walker's still rock solid to Georgia, but some of the stuff you see pop up on opposing, fan site message boards for other programs is, oh, Georgia's a mess. There's turmoil. People are not happy with how they're being used. A lot of that seems to always center back on Justin Fields here, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But as Trayvon Walker gets ready to go maybe take a visit to Florida, what do you make of the fact that, you know, a lot of fan bases, a lot of, you know, fan sites seem to be saying maybe our school has a chance to poach some of these Georgia recruits like Trayvon Walker because Georgia's all of a sudden so talented, so deep that it can't keep the commits that it has happy and it can't keep the guys in the roster happy. And all of a sudden it's like an embarrassment of riches for Georgia that seems to end up being kind of in conflict with the overall, a higher mission. What do you make all of that as it connects to a Walker here in particular?
Well, it sounds a lot like what you've heard from Alabama over the years that Alabama successfully navigated. It seems a lot of the elite prospects that didn't play really fast at Alabama. Perfect example is look at their two stud inside backers right now. That's Dylan Moses and Mack Wilson. Neither one of those guys played a whole lot as true freshmen. Maybe some special teams looks right there, which is basically what most of Georgia's true freshmen are doing right now. And now in their second and third years, they're marquee players that look like they're bound for Sundays. The Trayvon Walker information, I mean, the young man's going to take visits. He's going to take his official visit. Been to South Carolina. I bet he might even take one to Clemson. It's on the books for him to take one to Clemson. And then also there's the Florida official visit that's coming this weekend. Anybody that wants to worry about Trayvon Walker can simply look at what Georgia can say as a calling card for what they do and any sort of turmoil or not being used. I think you can point very clearly to three or four players that kind of exemplifies the mantra that if you're good enough, you will play for Georgia in your freshman year. There's Cade Mays, there's Tyson Campbell, there's Jordan Davis, now especially Jordan Davis in this connection here with Trayvon Walker. Jordan Davis took a minute to get ready, took a minute to get acclimated, but look down the home stretch of his season, especially the last three games, he's getting some quality good minutes. What I call contested minutes when the game is very much in doubt. Last week he even started against Florida. But I think Walker, all he needs to do is look at is a guy like Jordan Davis and see, yeah, Georgia's defensive lineman, if you're good enough, you're going to play right away. And I think the key factor for all the defensive line recruits that Georgia has in mind is come the 2020 season, there are eight guys on that roster right now on the defensive line side of the ball that won't be there. Really, the only two defensive linemen that are in the wheelhouse right now for Georgia that will be around for the 2020 season are Devontae Wyatt and Malik Herring. That's really just about it. Now, you need to throw Jordan Davis into the mix as well, but that's going to be open for business for Georgia on the defensive line. That's why another guy like Bill Norton still says, no matter how many promises that Jeremy Pruitt tends to make, that Athens is home. That's where he belongs, and that's why he's definitely going to be a Georgia Bulldog come signing day.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, Jeff. On a couple of the other subjects here of recruits who are, I guess, taking visits, if I got my information correct, both N'Kobe Dean and Jaden Hazel are going to be at Auburn this weekend for the Texas A&M game. And for, like, the mainstream fan, this makes no sense whatsoever how Auburn could still be in the mix, especially for an offensive guy like Jaden Hazelwood, given the fact that the Auburn offense has been a mess. I think the chances of Chip Lindsey, the offensive coordinator, being back again next year seem to me relatively slim here. I guess there's even some thought that depending on how the rest of the season goes, maybe Gus Malzahn's not even back next season. How is it that Auburn, in the midst of all that turmoil, and it's obvious, it's played out in a very public way here, how could they possibly still be in the mix for elite prospects like Dean and Hazelwood?
Well, at the risk of not saying anything involving Pat Dye's cabin, I would say something. I would say something to the tune of, you know, Auburn's still a quality program. They're in the SEC. They have a live and vivacious game day experience. And these are schools. You've got to remember, Auburn's recruiters, especially the linebackers, the way they recruit those guys are definitely, Travis Williams is definitely a great recruiter, and he's established good bonds with a lot of those guys. And they want to come check out Auburn. It's also a chance to come out and check a big SEC game in terms of Texas A&M and Auburn. And you also got to think about this. There's not much left in the Southeast as a big stage game for a lot of these recruits. Georgia's on the road in Kentucky. Alabama is on the road at LSU, and LSU, according to reports, is not letting any Alabama commitments into that game for recruit tickets or anything else like that. So that's a game for LSU that obviously they want to draw in as many people as possible. But, Brandon, sometimes they've just got to take five visits, and it sounds crazy because Georgia's that way with a couple of kids in this class, but sometimes you're just the number three or four school, number five school, and you're lucky to get a chance to at least prop up your program and show it off in front of that recruit and his family.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I guess my response to all that is, and some of our audience may not like me saying this, but the truth is I still, even in the midst of this turmoil, have respect for Auburn as a program. I think they are a greater recruiting threat to UGA than Florida is, for instance, you know, in terms of going head-to-head and battling. You know, Auburn's a program that has shown it can take a player that Georgia wants. It's been a long time since Florida's shown that. Head-to-head on the field, I think Auburn next Saturday, even though the game's in Athens, is actually a tougher game for Georgia than Kentucky this Saturday. So even in the midst of some weird stuff going on around Auburn, both on the field and on the recruiting trail, I still consider Auburn to be a formidable UGA rival, and as much talk as there's been about, you know, the magic wand that Dan Mullen's going to eventually wave at Florida, I don't see that as being true as a program in every facet. I think of Florida as still being inferior to Auburn.
That's a point that you can put aside your anti-Gator venom in your blood, Brandon. And you can also just look at it. Look, Auburn's putting guys in the league. Look at the quality of their defensive line. They're going to play on a big stage. And there's the chance for a lot of players. I mean, the wide receiver thing I think is very interesting because you're not seeing a lot of throw game and you're not seeing a lot of wide receivers being developed and on their way to the NFL out of Auburn as well. Everybody remembers names like Kyle Davis. You see Darius Slayton is still there as well. And George Pickens also remains committed. And if there's another thing that Auburn has going forward, I would say would be the legacy of Cam Newton, but also they've got a big-time quarterback like Bo Nix committed in the class as well, and that's where everybody wants to go play. Those young players, especially recruits that are central and centric to a certain recruiting year, they like going to a place where there's a big-time quarterback target tethered to, so to speak. And remember, Bo Nix, I think the last time I checked, is still the nation's number one dual threat quarterback for 2019 as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. All right, let me talk about Jaden Haysworth from the Georgia perspective here for a moment. We talked about this on Before the Hedges on Wednesday, presented by Kroger. You've written about this at adognation.com as well. Hazelwood is taking an official visit to Georgia, but it's not for the Auburn game next Saturday, as it was initially scheduled to be. It is now the Georgia Tech game, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Now, you pointed out on our show that that is a that's a less intense atmosphere, probably because the Saturday after Thanksgiving is always a little sleepy. There'll be fewer Tech fans. There will be Auburn fans in the building, so it's not quite as intense of an atmosphere. But I've told you that ultimately I don't think the atmosphere for a game is what sells Hazelwood on Georgia right now. I think he's been to Georgia plenty. Even though it's not the best game for him to come to, I don't think of that as a central reason that Hazelwood will either return or decide not to return to Georgia's 2019 class. You've had a chance to speak in depth to Hazelwood about a number of subjects here over the last couple of days. What do you make about where he is right now with this change in his visit plan to Georgia and kind of everything that's connected to that?
Well, I think he's really, really wide open, Brandon. I think there's really no clubhouse leaders. There's no back pocket favorite. I do feel, and that's something I'm going to write up and put up on the site soon, I think there are three or four really central, maybe misinterpretations about Jaden Hazelwood's recruiting that I think a lot of people, it's my job as a reporter to just frame up what I see or maybe the central moving pieces of this decision with Hazelwood. And he is a U.S. Army All-American as well. Excuse me. Sometimes all of us slip into this, Brandon. He is an American Family Insurance All-American Bowl All-American for 2019. And, you know, I see a lot of chatter. One thing I wanted to bring up on the show today, Brandon, as I see a lot of chatter online about people seeing all these great prospects that are playing in these All-American games from the state of Georgia, and even rival fan bases are showing up on timelines talking about, you know, what's Georgia doing? Even Georgia fans are wondering, like, how are the Bulldogs not doing better in state? But, I mean, Brandon, that's a theme that you and I have went over and over, and we've kind of talked about. This is the class where Georgia is looking nationally,
yeah,
where they see an upper echelon player in the state, but they think that there's a better player maybe outside the borders for a lot of good places. I mean, you go down the line, surely there's some All-Americans. You know, Nolan Smith is an All-American, but he's at a boarding school in Florida. He's still on the Georgia board. Trayvon Walker's still on the Georgia board, All-American. Dominic Blaylock. Those are the in-state All-Americans, but Lewis Seen is an Under Armour All-American out of Texas. Ryan Davis is an Under Armour All-American out of Florida. David Truss is an All-American Bowl All-American, and he's out of Rhode Island. You keep going down the list, and Georgia's got its share of guys in there. Warren McClendon, he's an All-American as well. It's just that they're just looking out of state for a lot of their guys rather than all those. Another great year of recruiting for the state of Georgia. You see guys like Harry Miller, found Ohio State. Christopher Hinton is found for Michigan. You see another tremendous talent, I think, in Kyle Hamilton out of Marist, who's on his way to Notre Dame. And, you know, with each of those situations, you go, Harry Miller, well, Georgia's looking at Clay Webb, a star. And then you look at Kyle Hamilton, and you're like, well, Georgia's got Lewis Seen committed, nation's number three safety. And then you look at another guy. You just kind of look at all these guys, and you say Georgia has got their own personal favorite or the personal guy they went after that they targeted along with all those guys. Now, Georgia definitely wanted Hamilton and Hinton and even Miller, even though they didn't recruit him as hard as their other offensive line prospects this year. But in a lot of these cases, Georgia just has their guy, and for their own needs of the class and the way the staff views it, they like the guy out of state a lot better, along with a lot of those uncommitted targets like Tyreek Stevenson, Kyir Elam, and that 2019 high-profile running back, which will be named later.
Yeah, I want to talk about Hinton here in a moment. You mentioned him, but let me follow up on what you just said there. The best example of the fact that this is now a national recruiting program, or at least for 2019, it's focusing its attention nationally. Think about the aftermath of the John Emery Jr. decommitment here. I mean, you don't hear one word about possibly getting back involved with like a Ronald Tompkins or who's the kid from Rome? Is it Jaquan Griffin? Is that his name? You don't hear any talk at all about those in-state running backs on the heels of losing the national guy, Emory. It's right back out there for another guy also out of the state. I mean, that was a time in which maybe you could have, you know, thought about going in-state with a running back, make the recruitment maybe a little easier. And the best I can tell, Tompkins and the kid from Rome don't get any consideration whatsoever.
Well, Jamias Griffin is putting up some prolific numbers. Again, he's only about 5'11", about 215 pounds, and he's currently committed to NC State. You know, Georgia has checked into Jamias Griffin, according to reports. But, you know, there's a lot of the Noah Cain stuff definitely is out there as well. So, I mean, it's not like Georgia. It was like that last year. I think Damian Pierce is a great example. He's a viable back. He was rated a top five back in the country, but Georgia has it had its eyes, and it's kind of hooked into Zamir White and James Cook by that time. And although Damian Pierce is getting a lot of reps as a freshman in Georgia, he just wasn't the type of back which Georgia's going to get to kind of fulfill or to kind of keep restocking that RBU mantra. Georgia's yeah. simply going to get the best backs in the country, and everybody's got to remember, it's not just last year. I mean, DeAndre Swift in the 2017 class, remember, Tenille Carter out of Texas yep. was also going to be a part of the 2017 class out of Georgia. He was a top 10 running back. He was an All-American running back out of Houston, Texas. That's just the way Georgia goes. And, I mean, Tenille Carter, I know folks don't think about that name anymore, but Tenille had Sony and Nick not both decided to stay for their senior seasons, then Tenille Carter would be running behind this offensive line right now, and Georgia would have had an additional running back in the 2017 class, and maybe they don't get both Zamir and James Cook in the 2018 class. So all these decisions have ripples, and whatever happens for Georgia in the 2019 class, if they don't end up with a Noah Cain or they don't end up with a Kenny McIntosh or even a John Emery Jr., that 2020 class with guys like Kendall Milton and guys like Zachary Evans out of Texas, if Georgia doesn't take a top 10 back, a top 5 back, an elite back in the 2019 class, it's only going to make things look extra enticing for Georgia with one of those five stars in the 2020 class.
All right, I've kept you long, but let me try to squeeze in two really quick things before we let you go here. You know, I say it all the time. When there is good news to report, you're the first one to report it. When there is the opposite of that, you are also good enough to give us the unfettered truth at adognation.com as well. Maybe an example of the latter on that, as involves Christopher Hinton here, who you got a chance to catch up this week. And for people like me who are keeping a candle in the window for to Hinton maybe flip from Michigan to UGA, it sounds like I'd maybe best serve moving on and thinking about something else. He's taken a recent visit to Georgia for a game, but it doesn't sound like Hinton's coming to Georgia, does it?
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, unless this guy is a great actor in the vein of Denzel Washington or Donald Glover or something like that, that dude is going to Michigan. He makes it very clear. He makes no bones about it. He even walked down the road to me about the most extreme what-if scenario possible. Wasn't just Jim Harbaugh getting fired. Wasn't just Michigan having a poor season and a bad turn for its 2018 season. He said about the only way he wouldn't go to Michigan is if the NCAA hit it with a 10-year ban on bowls or a death penalty for its football program. And when a young man frames it up quite like that, that seems very crystal clear in my mind.
And then real quickly here, one more thing before we let you go. We talked about this a little bit on Before the Hedges on Wednesday. I played the audio again on a Dog Nation Daily yesterday. I like Tresman Marshall. I want Georgia to stock up at linebacker for this 2019 class. The fact that Marshall is still as open with his recruitment as he seems to be, applying to what both Auburn and Tennessee, still mentioning the possibility of Florida State, that doesn't sound like great news for me in terms of Marshall being locked down here to this 2019 class. You obviously spent a good bit of time with Marshall. Any additional context for all that you can give us here on your way out the door?
Yeah, I don't understand why a lot of people think that Florida State is the dark horse guy, the dark horse team. To me, unless he's just trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the entire industry and giving false statements, he was actually even supposed to visit the Clemson-Florida State game after, instead of the Georgia-Florida game that weekend, last weekend. He didn't have it in his mind to go and make that trip and to check out Florida State. And as it stands right now, he's still not applying to Florida State. He filled out his Georgia application first. He's also going to fill out applications for both Auburn and Tennessee. Things to think about there with Tresman is he says Georgia still is number one, but it seems like Auburn and Tennessee both recruit him harder right now than the Bulldogs do. He says it's still a good cozy fit and everything still checks every box for him at Georgia, and he still loves Georgia. But this is a decision he's still going to have to weigh out, where he's still committed to Georgia. He hasn't made a public decommitment. He says Georgia is still his top school. But then again, he's also still going to consider two other schools who appear to be recruiting him harder down the stretch. The only counterpoint I can give to that information is Auburn and Tennessee are not spending as much time on game planning to win big games in November.
True.
as the Bulldogs are. So likely their staff of recruiters is spending extra time thinking about a way to prep their roster and to stock their roster with the type of players that Georgia already has at inside linebacker.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jeff, and really good stuff. We appreciate you being here with us today. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow as part of our Northside Hospital postgame show immediately after the Georgia-Kentucky game here from our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios. That will be a lot of fun, Jeff, and I will look forward to seeing you then.
My man, be a man. Have yourself a good Friday, sir.
You too.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, I've got some good stuff I want to do for the SEC Through, but let me quickly bounce off of a couple of things that Jeff had to say there. First of all, in terms of the fact that other programs are recruiting Tresman Marshall harder than Georgia is right now, Jeff says that there are other programs just have more free time on their hands to do that. I mean, if you watch the Tennessee-Alabama game, Tennessee, one of those programs that's apparently recruiting Marshall harder than Georgia is right now. I mean, you saw Jeremy Pruitt. He showed his hand when it came to that. He was asked at halftime of that Alabama-Tennessee game how you keep it close with Alabama, how you slow down this Alabama offense. And he said, it's going to take at least one more recruiting cycle before we can do that. So he's essentially using his game as a platform to pitch to recruits here. So, yeah, I mean, there is something that these desperate programs can do in terms of, hey, this is how bad we need you, that Georgia obviously can't do. But I think those of us who are, you know, watching this Georgia team closely know that just because Georgia doesn't need Marshall as bad maybe as Tennessee does, it doesn't mean that Georgia doesn't need him bad, because they do. Georgia's got to stock up on these linebackers. And the chance to have Quay Walker and a Channing Tindall from the 18 class, along with a Ryan Davis, a Tresman Marshall and a Kobe Dean for the 19 class, all of a sudden that is pretty nice at linebacker here. And that is what I think you got to do if you want to be that national championship level team. So I'm hoping for good news on that Marshall front. One more quick recruiting point to make before we do SEC Through here, and that is this. You know, I continue to be so torn about the notion of in-state recruiting versus national recruiting. Obviously, you know, I got the Georgia pullover on today. It's my rain gear, so to speak. I got the Georgia pullover on today. Obviously, I want Georgia to get the best possible players it can get. I don't make any, you know, bones about that. I want Georgia to sign the best 25 it can get. That means going nationally if you have to. However, what you see happen with John Emery Jr. is an example of why sometimes getting too cute and going too far away from home to find the best possible player, when they start flaking out on you, you can't just go knock on the door and get everything calmed down. It's a long way away, and they got a lot of voices, you know, weighing in on them, talking about, do you really want to go play at Georgia? How about you stay here in Louisiana? Just a hard thing to do. So one of the things that I like about in-state recruitment, not just the fact that I think the players play hard when they play for their home state team, but it's also, it's just easier, right? I mean, I think to sign the best class you can possibly sign, you got to have a few easy recruitments. You got to have a few, you had me at hellos, you know, the easy guaranteed yes, sure things. You got to have a few of those so that you can really put your effort towards the true contested recruitments here. I think if you try to contest 25 different recruitments and sign, you know, 25 five-stars, even though that seems like it may work out great, I think it makes for a challenging situation. Kirby Smart's obviously done a great job of this thus far, but it ain't as easy as sometimes he makes it look. With that said, let's transition to our SEC Through here. And let me remind you, this time of year, it's not just football, by the way, when you want to think about the SEC and sports in general. Especially for you point spread players, you guys like to get some action down on some games. It's also a time to start thinking about college basketball. On Tuesday, a great doubleheader of games, including Kentucky, Duke. I think college basketball is a really fun thing to bet on. When you're thinking about getting action, getting bets down, one of the things to think about is my friends at MyBookie. They are known as the fast, no-hassle payout when you win. And it's not just, you know, picking the winner of a game. It can also be, you know, I talked about over-under yesterday a little bit. Also the parlay thing where you put a little bit of money down, you pick three winners, and all of a sudden you win a lot of money. And it's not just football. It's basketball. It can be MMA. It can be baseball back when that was going on, NFL stuff, whatever. Also, what's even better than that is right now MyBookie wants you to be a winner before you even start, because when you use the promo code DOGNATION, your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. But you can act right now. Find MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. Find them online and use the promo code DOGNATION. After that, you play, you win, you get paid, and your first deposit can be matched up to 50% when you use the promo code DOGNATION at MyBookie. Now, my music's about to run out, so let me hit a few of these stories here. I think it's really interesting to see if LSU is going to be able to keep it close with Alabama on Saturday. I saw where Pete DeMille, writing for Yahoo Sports, kind of polled a lot of X's and O's experts, people like that. It seems like there's a common belief here that Alabama is just simply too good. I do think that Alabama might choose to be a little conservative here on Saturday. I think your only shot of seeing LSU cover that 14.5 is an Alabama team that's just comfortable running the football. Believe it or not, I think they actually may be more comfortable doing that in the first half than you might think, trying to exploit the absence of Devin White. That may be LSU's best chance of covering this number. I did think it was interesting to see the reports this week that former Clemson quarterback Kelly Bryant has visited Auburn. That's the latest SEC school that he's been connected to. You've heard Missouri pop up here. You've heard Arkansas pop up here. If Bryant does indeed go to Auburn, and the fact that Auburn's even entertaining talking to Kelly Bryant, I think that speaks to Auburn next year having a very difficult time of bouncing back offensively after what has been a pretty rough year this year. You know, the quarterback thought to be waiting in the wings here was supposed to be Malik Willis. I never really bought into that too much. You do have Patrick Nix, the pretty impressive 2019 signee on the way here, but Kelly Bryant as a stopgap, whose numbers in his year starting for Clemson not being great. You know, as much as I say I respect Auburn as a program still, they're still a force to be reckoned with in recruiting. Could be a challenging game for Georgia next week. Offensively right now, they are a mess, and I'm not sure that Kelly Bryant cleans that mess up very much. Another story that I wanted to get to for the SEC through here, we don't talk Cleveland Browns football very much on Dog Nation Daily, but from an SEC standpoint, I think the job opening there at Cleveland becomes really interesting because of all the college coaching rumors you're hearing in terms of potential replacements for the now fired Hugh Jackson. Dabo Sweeney has had to shoot down some of those rumors this week. Nick Saban was the first one of those that popped up. You've also heard Urban Meyer's name in connection to some of this. The obvious dot to connect here might be Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach, going back and working with his once quarterback, Baker Mayfield. I love the coaching silly season when it comes to these job changes, especially when it doesn't involve Georgia here. Watch that Cleveland Browns thing in the months ahead in terms of the different college coaches who are going to have to speak about those rumors and, you know, would that coach consider leaving his college job to go work there in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns? That could be really interesting. And then one more story to get to for our SEC through here, and it involves another coaching rumor. There were reports this week that the current Alabama analyst, former Tennessee head coach Butch Jones, is interested in the Maryland job. Of course, DJ Durkin was fired this week. That's not a surprise to hear that. I think, though, the thing about Jones getting back in the coaching mix, and you see the reaction to this, is more proof of that. Jones is not going to be able to get back into the coaching mix until he rehabilitates his reputation a little bit more. 1 year as an analyst is not going to do that. You saw this with Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. You actually have to be hired as a coach by Saban before you can go coach and work somewhere else. Just being an analyst is not going to be enough. So let's see if Jones has enough of a reputation in Saban's mind to actually get one of those 10 on-field coaching jobs. At that point in time, Butch is on his way back. But as it stands right now, I think we're a long way from seeing that. And in fact, I think that Hugh Freeze is going to coach again before Butch Jones does. And we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, I want to take a minute to kind of point out something I thought was really kind of interesting online here. And, you know, it's maybe another example of why Georgia really needs to beat Kentucky on Saturday. Good news is I think this will happen. The bad news is if it doesn't, the bowl matchup for Dogs, might not be all that thrilling here. I couldn't help but notice that both Sports Illustrated and CBS Sports this week and their bowl projections have the same exact pick for Georgia. A Fiesta Bowl game, that's not so bad. Arizona in January, always a nice choice against UCF. And, you know, in a weird way, the UCF matchup may not be, you know, all that bad necessarily. There's actually maybe a little juice around that game because UCF could be undefeated for its second consecutive year heading into the game. But, y'all, did you watch UCF against Temple last night? This is not a good football team. And for a long time there, I finally fell asleep before the game ended, but for a long time there, I actually thought Temple had a chance to win this game. But the fact that UCF's in a fight for its life against the Temple Owls means that it's not the kind of team that I'd be playing Georgia or anybody else of that caliber in any kind of bowl game. So this is kind of an all-or-nothing scenario for Georgia. It's keep winning and be just as fun as 2017 was, or drop a game somewhere along the way here and either be back in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl, not exactly a destination after having played there in December, or assuming Georgia does make the SEC championship, by the way, or, you know, be out there playing some, you know, group of five team like UCF. All the more reason why beating Kentucky, owning the East on Saturday, remains a very important thing to do. By the way, before we get ready to sign off here, let me also invite you to check out Kroger Ship if you've not done that before. You get the essentials that you need, the everyday items, groceries, everything else, delivered right there to your door. When you act now, you can also get 15% off your order and free shipping on your first order. I think it's the most convenient way to buy groceries, and I think it's something you absolutely ought to check out. So check out Kroger Ship, and don't worry about fighting traffic or getting over to your local Kroger. Just simply have Kroger come to you, and when you do, you'll be very glad you did. All right, we will get ready to wrap up here. As we've been saying, there are three words this week that matter more than anything else. For Georgia, it's own the East. But around here, we can also think about more than one thing at the same time. So while we're excited about looking ahead to Kentucky on Saturday, we're also still going to look back to last Saturday and the very pleasant experience of seeing Georgia beat Florida again, just as Jake Fromm and Richard LeCount predicted would happen all those years ago. With that in mind, let's do our Gator Hater Updater and let you know it has now been 734 days since Georgia has had to listen to any kind of trash talk from those lousy, stinking Gators. And over the course of the next year and for years and years to come, we think that number's going to keep going up, and we'll keep celebrating with you right here on a Dog Nation Daily. Also, congrats to the Georgia basketball team last night. Got things going, an exhibition win over West Georgia. Real season begin next Friday. We'll look forward to talking to you about that and seeing you Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily.